The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Do you know what the oldest profession is?
Next, successful entrepreneur and business executive Buddy Pilgrim shares what the Bible says about money.
That's it. So the oldest profession and the first one ever mentioned in the Bible was a chicken farmer, and his brother raised corn, and I guarantee you they did business until he killed his best customer, and then things kind of went downhill.
How money runs the world, next.
Thank you so very much for joining us. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is my husband, James.
And we've got a real situation here. We've got someone, and by the way, whatever you do, you keep your seatbelt buckled, and you really stay with this, because we face some real challenges. And I know one thing about all of our viewers all over the world. I don't care whether you're in the U.S. or Canada or in Australia, wherever you are, you really care about others. You want what's best. You really want people to be blessed, and when you've been blessed, you like to bless. And one of the things I know about our viewing audience, I mean, I'm convinced this is true, they live beyond their world, and they make a difference in someone else's world. Well, we've got a guest that if you'll hear what he has to say, it's going to make a difference in not only your world, but the whole world. And it's a businessman, a successful businessman. As a matter of fact, it's a family that has the second largest chicken producing company in the world. The Pilgrims, Pride. Those no yellow chickens, Bo Pilgrim says. Well, Bo is our guest's uncle. His dad is Bo's brother. This family developed the business, but this family member moved out of the business, even though he's still in business, but he just began to share Jesus continually, because that's what a lot of successful people do, whether you believe it or not. We've got a lot of people who help us in our mission efforts who are quite successful, and they're feeling the pain of people not liking them. Sort of makes you want to go off and hide rather than keep bowing and blessing people. We need to be real careful. Would you welcome Buddy Pilgrim to life today? Buddy, glad to see you.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Betty. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I wish you know, I liked it. I like the chicken. Yeah, and I bet you like those cows that old Kathy's got over there at the Chick-fil-A telling everybody eat more chicken. Buddy, I want you to, really, you are in love with Jesus and obviously changed your life. And we could spend the whole program just talking about that, but I'm asking you very directly to share with our viewers about business and about business people and what's on your heart. But I want you to start, if you don't mind, with something that really startled me when I heard you speaking to a real group of national leaders. And you really came, in my opinion, in with such an effective way to show all of us that the love of money may be the root of all evil, but money might not be the problem as much as it might be an answer. And then you just took off as a businessman, and I want our viewers to hear what God's put on your heart. And by the way, I want to put his email address up right now. I want you to know where to get to him, where you could say, Buddy, come to our church and speak to. Matter of fact, this businessman will preach. Speak to, preach to our whole church, not just our businessmen, everybody, because everybody in your church needs to hear what's on his heart. There is the email address, and you could go to lifetoday.org if you say I didn't have something to write with, and you'll find it again because we'll have it posted there. Buddy?
Thank you, James. And I appreciate you making that comment as well, because you know, the most common misconception pastors have when they call me to minister in some way at their church is they'll call and say, come speak to our men's group, okay? And I say, well, do your women not want to be successful in business as well? Because, see, I believe women ought to be successful in business as well.
Absolutely.
Amen?
Absolutely.
or they'll say, well, just come speak to our leaders. And I said, well, don't you want those people who you don't view as leaders yet to become leaders and become successful in business? So, you know, God's word applies to the workplace no matter where you are, whether you're in the back dock or the president's office, whether you're the secretary or the CEO. And when I left Pilgrims in 1998, the Lord led me to start the ministry that I have today. It was a very specific calling. I teach the word for the workplace. I don't try to teach the word for family life. James Dobson does that. I don't try to teach relationship. I don't try to pastor people. I'm not a pastor. If you come tell me all your problems, I'll just tell you, you need to just get over them and move on. I'm not a pastor, okay?
Go eat some chicken.
That's right. But I do know what I'm called to do. I'm called to apply the word to business and to help people see that the Bible is the best business textbook there is. And usually I'd have my hand on my Bible. I guess this iPad kind of is, because it's what I've got the scripture in tonight rather than bringing my Bible. But what you mentioned a minute ago when you heard me speaking to that group of, really is a group of national religious leaders, very, very brief presentation I made down there that day. I started with a scripture that by a show of hands, only two people in that entire audience of national religious leaders had ever heard of. And it's a scripture that I think is pretty significant. It says a lot. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And I always lead into verse 18. It's verses 18 and 19. Verse 18 says, through indolence the rafters sag, or through laziness the rafters sag, and through slackness, or through idle hands, the house leaks. Now, that tells us something right there. Unless we get up and do something, things don't get fixed. That's true in our country today, too. We can sit in our closets and pray all day long, but we've got to get out and do something as well. If you want to help the poor, help these girls that have been taken into the sex trade, you got to sometimes get out and do something as well. So that's verse 18. Well, verse 19 says this, men prepare a meal for enjoyment. That's fine. Wine makes life merry. Well, it may if you don't drink too much of it. And the last part of verse 19 says, and money is the answer to everything. Now, I find very few people that know that that verse is in the Bible. Some translations say, money answers all things. The Hebrew word says, money responds to all things. Now, obviously, money doesn't substitute for Christ in our lives. But what that says is, you can't really accomplish much of anything in this world, in this natural, physical place where we live, without money. You just can't. You can't run a ministry successfully without money. You can't run a business without money. You can't steward over your family without money. You can't run a church without money. You can't run a political campaign without money. I was saying as we were talking over dinner tonight, there was a reason that Al-Qaeda picked Osama bin Laden to head up that Al-Qaeda group. Osama bin Laden had $150 million. He had money. You can't be a successful terrorist without money. That's the truth. So we need to recognize that. And there's this subtle teaching, I think, that's not only slipped into the church, but I think it's slipping into our entire country that is extremely dangerous, that demonizes wealth, it demonizes business, it demonizes profits, it particularly demonizes big business. It's kind of okay for a politician to say something good about a small business. You can talk about, well, we need to help small businesses, but do we not need big businesses to be successful? Don't we want them to make a profit as well?
Most big businesses started as a small business.
Well, that's exactly correct. They absolutely did. And the only way you grow is by continuing to reinvest your profits. The only thing that gives a business the opportunity to hire more people, to give raises, to expand, to build new buildings, to buy new equipment, to do all these kind of things which ultimately benefit customers and benefit employees, benefit suppliers, is profit. If you don't have a profit, you can't do any of those kind of things. Yet profit is so demonized today, and money in general is so demonized today. So I want people to understand the Bible's serious when it says money is the answer to all things. It takes money to accomplish what we need to do here on earth. Once you understand this basic principle about how important money is to accomplish things, it kind of leads to the next logical question. How do you generate money? Or better said, how do you generate wealth? Because money is nothing more than a common denominator for the exchange of wealth. But money, a dollar bill or a $100 bill in and of itself is not anything that's important. It's the wealth that it represents. So it begs the question, how do you create wealth? And that's a vitally important topic. And it's becoming more and more important in today's politics as well, where all this stuff's being demonized, as I said a minute ago. And the most fundamental teaching that I teach in my ministry is a message that the Lord gave me several years ago. Frankly, I was attending a meeting where two different preachers back-to-back had taught on prosperity. Now, frankly, I believe God wants to prosper and bless you, okay? But the blessing also includes prosperity. So I was listening to this, and I know that in a lot of prosperity-believing churches, people, this may not even be what the pastor is necessarily teaching, but people go away believing for prosperity in this way, that all I have to do to be blessed financially is to sow, to give, and it'll be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together. So all I got to do is sow my $20 in the offering plate and sit back and wait for miracle money to show up in the mailbox.
And that's really a misrepresentation of seeds. There's no farmer that just goes out casting seeds at random. You want a fertile field. You want to prepare the ground. You want to know it is prepared ground. You want to watch over it, and you want to pray for God to bless it. And you can give to Life Outreach and give and think you're going to get all your bills paid. If you don't if you manage your affairs like the federal government, you can have the same problems they have. We need to be good businessmen, and that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So the Lord began to give me this message to help share it, particularly within the church, but I share this in and outside of the church. Next week, I'm going to speak to the Missouri State Legislature, and I'm going to talk to them about the only way that wealth is generated. And here's the foundation of this message. A business transaction is the only thing that creates, that manifests, that brings about wealth. Nothing else other than a business transaction manifests wealth. You know, you can have oil in the ground, and if you don't ever get it out of the ground, it's really of no value. It's got potential value there. But until you draw it out of the ground and begin to use it in the exchange process, which is business, that's the only time the value is manifested. So the Lord gave me this message, and that's the fundamental, that's the most important point, is to understand that a business transaction is where all wealth is manifested. And business is so often dismissed within the church as being secular. Well, we don't want to get involved in the world system. You know, that's that we're holier than that. Mm-hmm. We want to turn over this stuff that has to do with the world to other people. Well, that's what we've done. See, if you view politics and business as being the world's system of operating instead of God's system
sure
of operating,
enough.
And you turn it over to people that don't know God, you'll only get ungodly results. But if you realize that business is not the world's system, it's God's system, and we've turned it over to the world, and that's why we get the ungodly results.
Exactly.
Politics aren't the world's system. God's designed that people should work together in a political manner
Absolutely.
In some way, but when we turn it over to the world, we can only get ungodly results.
That's right.
And then he gave me just chapter and verse to show me how I can show that each of these things is true, and I can confirm it in Scripture. The reason we know that business is God's system is I went and looked up the dictionary definition of business. And the dictionary defines business as the exchange of goods and services. And by the way, it says, in an order to make an economic profit. So profit must be part of it, and that's okay. But if business is defined as the exchange of goods and services, then you go back and look at how God designed us. You see, He designed us such that we are, I call it, individually insufficient. We need Him in our lives. And we need each other in our lives as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
And we're more productive and prosperous and efficient as a society when we do business with one another. And one person, in the beginning, one person hunts and another one makes spears. One person builds a house while another one cooks. And we exchange with one another, and that creates prosperity. In fact, do you know what the oldest profession is? You know what it's usually said
what
to be.
People say it is.
You know what people usually say the oldest profession
right.
is, but the truth is, in Genesis chapter 4, it says, and Adam had relations with his wife Eve. Now, that wasn't the oldest profession. They were married, okay? That was the oldest pastime. It wasn't the oldest profession, okay? So Adam had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived a child, Cain, and then she did another one, Abel. And it said, and Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, right?
Work.
Okay. That's the first two children that ever set foot on the face of this earth. And there's no doubt in my mind that God told us for a reason that one of them was gifted in animal agriculture, was a keeper of flocks, and the other one was a tiller of the ground. He was in farming, grain agriculture. Now, if you look up that word flocks, this is just kind of a little side story. Most people translate it as sheep. King James translates it as sheep. But the literal Hebrew word means a small group of small animals. And it's translated in many Bibles as flocks. Well, if you've been in the chicken business as long as I have and you see a word flock, and it's a small group of small animals.
They were chicken.
They were chicken farmers. That's right. That's it. So the oldest profession and the first one ever mentioned in the Bible was a chicken farmer, and his brother raised corn, and I guarantee you they did business until he killed his best customer, and then things kind of went downhill.
And you know what? Here's the thing. We are in the process in our country of not only killing the customer, but killing the business person that produces the opportunity and the product. It is absolutely, it's really reached a point of total insanity.
It has. You know, volunteerism is lifted up so high today, and in a very dangerous way. I'm concerned about some of the political talk today about service to community, okay? September 11th has been turned into a national day of service instead of a day to commemorate what happened. Even this past Martin Luther King's Day was talked about as a day of service. Well, Martin Luther King didn't march on the mall for a day of service. He marched on equality, where people would be judged by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. And all this talk about service kind of sounds good on the surface, but it's really all about collectivism. And it's elevating volunteerism. There's nothing wrong with volunteerism. I believe in volunteering. But we've reached this point where we demonize people who go out and earn a living, and we elevate those who volunteer and don't do anything. And I would say this, as much as I agree and I believe in volunteerism, is it really more noble? What is more noble? To go out one Saturday a couple of times a year and work the food line at the homeless shelter? Or to risk your capital and to invest your intellect and your labor and your hard work to start a business that will employ the person Absolutely. That is at the homeless shelter so that they can provide for themselves and their family Absolutely. With dignity.
Thank God for businessmen. Would you say thank God for Buddy Pilgrim? I wish I could lay hands, healing hands, on the whole nation and heal this divide of pitting class against class, because that's what's happening. And it is crippling our nation. It's crippling our economy. Father, I just pray that the viewer will hear what you want them to hear. The love of money is the root of all evil. Greed is one of the awful sins that cripples. But success and blessing and prosperity, you promise. You led your people into prosperity in order that they could bless others. And Father, I pray you bless our viewers, that they bless others and bless our nation. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
There's Buddy's web address again. And I hope you'll have him come speak to your whole church when you just get to turn him loose and let him go. You'll have a new congregation. I pray we have a new country to think rightly about some of these things, because it's sad. Buddy, we're doing something that our viewers love to do, and that's to rescue people.
Amen.
And by the way, they can't do it without capital.
That's right.
They've got to have earned it somewhere. It's got to have come to them. And even if it came from some tax program where it's a Social Security, it still was provided by the labor of the people who put it in and the employer. And it's being provided by people right now who are maintaining it, who know they won't ever get anything. We've got to fix that. But see, you have something to give. I'm asking you to give life. I'm asking you to rescue life. I want you to listen to our mission partner, who left her career to go into totally rescuing the people who are trapped in the sex trafficking. Listen to Gazelle.
This is Neeta and Parmilla. They met many years ago when they were both trafficked to the same brothel as young girls. Several decades later, the lifelong friends are still suffering from the effects of human trafficking because Parmilla has HIV, and Neeta is dying from AIDS.
This is not something that should ever happen to a human being, ever. Can you imagine to be taken as a 9-year-old little girl, spending your entire life in the brothel, and then thrown out like an animal because you can no longer sell your body as a sex slave? This is the ending. If we don't do something to help these little girls, if we don't do something to stop this, if we don't provide safe homes for them, if we don't provide life centers where we can save and rescue these little girls, this is what happens to them. They end up being thrown out like dogs on the street. Their innocence was robbed from them, and this is what they have to do now. But why? Why do they have to go? We can do something so they don't end up like this. I just want to do more.
Some of those precious little children you saw there at the end are targets for the sexual predators who take them and use them in the sex industry. In Nepal, there are many children who are in desperate situations and they're easy to take. We really believe God wants us to build a life center there to help Gazelle, who was a fashion model, and she saw the need, and she actually herself was held captive in that trade for a brief period when she was young. And she went on to be very successful after she was freed from it, but she never forgot. And she's gone back now, and we have decided we would help her. When I say we, it includes Betty. We can't do it without the help of our viewers. She has started a business there for these girls to make a living, making beautiful beads. And we want to send this to some of you who will help rescue one of the children as a gift, just to send one that was made in love and appreciation for the job. But here's what it takes. It takes $128 to rescue a life. And we have been blessed, Betty, by someone who had such a broken heart that they said, we'll match every gift. Which means if you'll help rescue one of these precious children or one of these people from this sex trafficking, it'll actually be two, and it also means if you could give $64, it would be matched, and we'd be able to rescue another. We need $225,000, which will build quite an elaborate life center there, because the dollar goes so much further in the labor there, what we're able to do, and the material. So we're asking every one of you to help us. And Betty, I believe every viewer will do something.
I do too, James. You know, you and I are so blessed. We have five beautiful granddaughters, and I can't even imagine or picture them having to go through such a tragedy as these girls, all these children do. It's just hard to even think about. And these children don't have a chance. They're helpless and they're hopeless unless we care, unless we offer hope. I hope you will join with us and let's do something for these children.
I'm sending the book, Indivisible, that Jay Richards and I wrote, Restoring Faith, Family, and Freedom, which is really a roadmap out of our wilderness and our need in this nation back to a solid foundation. You are going to love the truth that you see that will set us free as a nation again. I really believe that. Restoring faith, family, and freedom before it is too late. We want to send that to you to say thank you. If you will, for any gift you make, if you will help us rescue one of these children, we'll also send with the book one of the sets of the beautiful beads made in love. If you'll help us build the Life Center, we want to send you the beautiful lion and lamb bronze to say thanks. We're asking for a gift of $1,000 or more. It may be that you could give $5,000 or more. Whatever you can do, we're asking you to make those gifts. Let's do this to rescue these precious children and these women from this horrible trade. They are prisoners. Call, use your bank card like a check, or you can go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift. If you make a check, make it out to Life. Please call and let us know what God's leading you to do.
human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And we can also build the New Hope Life Center in Nepal, which will be a safe house for children for years to come. And now, a miracle opportunity of a $384,000 matching gift. With a cost of $128 to rescue a child, that means your gift of $128 will be matched to help rescue two children, and $64 will be matched to help rescue one more child. With your gift, please request Indivisible by James Robison and Jay Richards, a soul-stirring read for every Christian who desires to restore America to the values that formed our strong foundation, built on faith, family, and freedom. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you will receive a unique and beautiful necklace, handcrafted by women who were survivors of human trafficking and slavery. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000, which will be matched to $2,000 for the New Hope Life Center. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I really believe that Indivisible points us in the direction we must go and the correction that we must make. I think you're going to find it to be one of the most inspirational reads of your entire life, and I believe it can change our nation. I want to remind you that Buddy Pilgrim, there's his web address, and you can get Land of Blessing, the teaching from that he teaches on business. It's great, and I'd encourage you to get him in your church sometime. Would you join Betty and me and say thanks to Buddy Pilgrim for coming and sharing that? I love you.
Thank you, John.
I appreciate you very much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bless you. Bless your family. And thank you for helping us bless others. Thank you for helping us rescue lives.
I'm gonna stand here till somebody gets a word, because I'm gonna tell you something. Many of us have been disabled by our past actions.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.